Hello and welcome to episode 4 of our podcast here in Sartell St. Stephen that we are now calling Saber Speaks. Our guests today, Nikki Perius and Shannon Houghton, actually had the privilege of naming that. And so with that, I'm Tom Lee. I'm the interim superintendent, and I am here with Nikki and Shannon. And we're here to talk about reading and the implementation or the first year implementation of our new English language arts curriculum at the elementary level called CKLA, which is really it's the first term is Amplify. I think that's the company publishing it. And CK stands for Core Knowledge. And LA obviously stands for Language Arts. So Nikki and Shannon, welcome to our podcast. Okay, so let's start this off. So tell me a little bit about the background, about how did we land on CKLA as the tool that we're going to be piloting this year?
So last year, we had a team of people that looked at several different, well, first we actually looked at what we want our students to gain information from. So we looked at, you know, different types of curriculum. Some were balanced literacy, like our current curriculum, Wonders, and then only a few were structured. So we knew that we needed to push our students in a different way, and we had been learning a lot about the science of reading and knew that structured literacy is where we want our students to go. So then we were brought to about 3 different curriculums that had structured literacy, and out of those 3, there were only 2 that really had a knowledge base. And our team looked at these curriculums and decided to go with Amplify because everything was in one spot and our teachers would be able to use this curriculum to help move their kids forward.
Sounds great. So for our audience, Core Knowledge has been around for 20 to 30 years. It was, I believe it was E.B. Hirsch that started and basically talked about how kids don't have enough knowledge about their world. And so Core Knowledge was really meant to help build that knowledge. And years ago, it was considered pretty Eurocentric as far as its approach, because you had first graders studying Aristotle, right? And you're like, are you kidding me? Aristotle in first grade? Give me a break, right? When you look at it from the outside. But through the years, we've learned the importance of gaining knowledge in order to bring meaning to text, right? And last summer, my understanding is that the staff here, or some of the staff here at Riverview Intermediate School, went through a book study together, and that was on a book entitled The Knowledge Gap, correct?
Correct.
And actually, I've read it now too, and like for your, well, as we said earlier, it's like I was a little bit angry when I first read it because I'm like, the author is being really critical of us. We've been working our tails off, right?
Yeah.
But then she kind of hooked me when she got to a point and she took a passage from a state test, and I believe it was a third grade level test, and she removed 3 to 5 key vocabulary words. And as she read the text, and because I was listening to it on Audible, I realized I didn't understand the text either. So it brought the importance of understanding information and vocabulary to understanding and comprehending text. So as a relatively intelligent adult, I probably would not have passed that test. So tell me. We're in the first year of adoption, right? And so we have a group of individuals at each of our elementary buildings, which would include Oak Ridge, Pine Meadow, and Riverview, that are going down this path. So how many people out of how many are actually doing it here at Riverview?
At Riverview, we have 4 sections from each grade level doing the first round of implementation. So I myself am a new implementer in 3rd. And it's been really exciting to learn as a teacher new things right along with my students. But also what's most exciting is just to see how excited our kids are about learning. And I've taught for 27 years, and I feel I've done a variety of reading curriculums, and this is one that has it all. And it's exciting to feel that excitement in myself, but then like see it in my kids at the same time. And I mean, I have so much I can say about it, but I'm sure you have many questions. So
okay, so we have four sections at each grade level. So here it'd be grade 3, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. How many sections total do we have here in each grade level?
Well, about 12 per grade level.
Okay.
This year we have 11 in third and then 13 in fourth, but usually 12. So it's about one third of our teachers.
Okay, and so why are we doing it this way? Why aren't we doing everyone?
Well, for early implementation, this group of teachers, they are really digging in.
Yep.
And they're really paving the way for next year. They have done so much with communicating with each other, talking to Paul and I at Riverview and Brittany and Zach about, you know, different things that we could work on to make this curriculum fit with our school and our students.
Yep. Well, and a lot of times what happens is that we use this word called fidelity in education, and when you have a massive implementation, it's difficult to maintain fidelity. Fidelity basically means teach it the way it was designed to be taught, right? And this way allows us to find the strengths and weaknesses of the program. But also, I've heard that it's also challenging teachers, because teachers who've worked for 27 years in the classroom can now kind of, they see, well, my kids might struggle in this area, so I'd like to adapt it right here. And we're asking teachers, please don't. Please keep teaching it the way it was designed, so that we can maintain the fidelity, so that we can discover collectively the strengths and weaknesses of it, and hopefully maybe even the things that we perceive this year might be weaknesses, if we teach it with fidelity, actually turn out not to be weaknesses but actual strengths. So can you give me a couple of examples of some of those things that staff are wrestling with?
I myself am wrestling a little bit with just the time factor and planning.
Yep.
I like to plan out a week in advance, and most teachers do.
Yep.
And it's the night before, because even I need to wrap my head around the 2 hours of material that I'm going to show my students. So
yep.
To feel comfortable and confident when I'm with them, I can't be looking ahead at the next day, because then I almost forget what I'm doing the day before. So we teach for 120 minutes in third grade. And it actually ends up even being more, because it's amazingly tied to science right now. And so my science, I mean, it's just a continuation of whatever I'm working on in reading. So that's been one of the challenges.
Also, another challenge that I hear from the early implementers is that with Balanced Literacy, the Wonders program, pretty much every Tuesday looked the same. The students had the same routine every Tuesday.
Right.
So now with structured literacy, every day is a new day. And that is challenging, because like Shannon said, it does take time to be able to prepare yourself for the next day, because it's not going to look exactly like what you did the day before. Now, there are benefits, you know, to seeing students know what's coming up. But then there's also benefits of kids moving on along the timeline in a very structured way.
Yeah, well, one of the things I've heard is that those of you who are the early implementers are working super hard, right? And probably harder than you did with Wonders, A, because you had done Wonders, we're familiar with it, B, because like you just said, every Tuesday was basically the kind of same routine, so it kind of built that in, and that this is a very new to you in totality, but it's also a new approach, which requires more preparation, and so there's all that going into it as well. So first of all, I want to thank you and all the early implementers, because I know what it's like to go through the first year of implementation of any curriculum, and I suspect that this might be a more complex and sophisticated curriculum than what we're used to, because it is about not only building skills, but also building knowledge along the way. And so that's the difference, isn't it? Because past balanced literacy is all about building skills. Like, so what are some of the skills that we would concentrate on in balanced literacy?
One that comes to my head right away is author's perspective.
Right.
And so we would teach these stories using, Wonders would provide us with many different stories, but the stories were not related to each other, but they would have the same task. You must find author's purpose. So we were telling kids about author's purpose, author's perspective. What does the author think? But we were using that as a skill in saying those words over and over again, the actual author's purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And now with Amplify, for example, I was in a room yesterday and the teacher was talking about, reptiles. And within the text, Amplify asked the teacher to say, do you think that the author is really afraid of snakes because of what it just told us in the text? And so the kids are really kind of relating the actual content, the knowledge of the text, to what the author is feeling. A different approach.
Yeah.
And in the same lesson, they had to identify main idea across three different paragraphs. And so it's like all embedded right in there instead of a separate mini lesson or a separate lesson. That's what I am really finding. I know we talked about challenges, but one of the things that I think is going to be wonderful for new teachers especially is the basal for the teacher, the teacher's guide, has every question laid out of what you should be asking. You don't have to go find an extra story to teach main idea. You don't need to go find anything. It's all there, all laid out for the teacher, basically of what to say, what to ask. That has been very nice to make it engaging, because it is a lot of teacher presenting and whole group. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge for some, but we get to add our sparkle to it. And so that is actually exciting to just be creative too.
And I have to add something about sparkle.
Because we're going down a tangent,
yeah.
But it's okay.
Ms. Shep, she was talking about, teachers are going to add their personal sparkle to all the lessons, and I kind of laughed at Ms. Shep because I'm like, okay, yeah, for sparkle. And then she showed me right in the CKLA Amplify document that they actually call it
sparkle. Well, I wish everyone could see your faces right now, because you're showing that sparkle with your smiles and excitement. But it also, one of the things that's different than balanced literacy, as you described, is that we're dealing with a lot of nonfiction texts, correct? Things that are related to science, things that are related to social studies. So what are some of the things that your kids have learned or have been learning about to date this year, either in science or social studies?
Well, what I find so fascinating is this animal unit that we're teaching. We've taught an animal unit in third grade for years. And after looking through the lessons, I said, oh my goodness, we can't even teach the science unit we're teaching anymore, because we're gonna learn way beyond that science unit in language arts. So it covers science beyond what we were doing in our animal unit. And then it's allowed me to revamp our science and make it more hands-on. You know, we're using ozobots for migration, or hibernation.
Yep.
And we're using magnets for migration, and they did stacking tubes for the food chain and Play-Doh with straws for vertebrates and invertebrates. And we're able to like take science even to a different level with the extra time we have, because we're covering everything plus more in reading.
That's awesome. How about social studies? Have there been any units on social studies yet?
Right now, the fourth graders are in the Middle Ages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so they just started a couple days ago. So they are really digging in, and I've talked to a few teachers, and the excitement of some of the topics is, they weren't expecting that level of excitement. So they are just digging in. Our fourth and fifth graders did start with a big unit on personal narratives.
Yep.
So that's where they started this year, and they did more writing than they've ever done.
I think all the grade levels have done a tremendous amount of writing. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to see them become more confident in their writing. They're developing paragraphs with ease. They're using topic sentences, supporting details, complete thoughts. already in already in the first couple months of school.
And it is challenging, though.
It is.
And I would say that has been the biggest challenge for the students.
Yep.
Is the writing portion in the and especially fourth and fifth grade, starting that way.
Well, and we used to, you know, so this sounds to me like your literacy block, which is 2 hours long, right? 120 minutes.
Yeah. In third grade, it's two hours.
Okay.
Fourth and fifth are 90 minutes.
Okay, but that's still a big block, and we're putting in there, we're putting reading skills and growing knowledge in areas of nonfiction, like science and social studies. We're also putting writing into that. So it just sounds like a jam-packed block of time.
Yeah, and third grade, actually, the 30 additional minutes, we've included phonics.
Yep.
And that is something that's gone by the wayside for third grade unless we used it in differentiated or guided reading groups.
Yep.
And it's essential for all these kids to continue to have phonics in third grade.
Yep.
They don't know how to break words apart using syllabication, or they don't know why they're changing a Y to an I before adding ES. They're learning phonics in a, and it's a continuation of phonics from kindergarten, first, and second grade that I think is extremely important, and that's why third grade has an additional block of time on their reading block.
And then that turns into morphology in fourth and fifth.
Okay, what's morphology?
Breaking apart words once again, but understanding the meanings of those parts that you break it into.
So it really does continue to be language arts, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it sounds really exciting to me, and it sounds like you guys are having a very positive experience, working hard, but also it sounds like kids are pretty engaged, right? You know, and
teachers do. They our team is amazing. The early implementing team, they are working so hard to add that personal sparkle too, and like, you know, get the kids up and moving and engaged, because they're putting some time into making sure that the kids continue that love of reading.
Well, you know, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about maybe an audience member who's like, wow, why haven't they been doing this forever? Well, and you know, in that book, The Knowledge Gap, you know, she kind of followed the what teachers have been taught to do for the last generation or two. Basically, we went from teaching phonics and phonics only to whole language, right? And then we found balanced literacy, which was like a little bit of phonics, a little bit of whole language. And we found that because that's what the research was directing us to do. But now the research that's been coming out is really quite different, because as we discussed earlier, it's like we're working our tails off, and sometimes it doesn't seem like it's making a difference, at least in our nationally normed tests, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's brings us back to the science of reading. We continue to try to find that, follow that science of reading, and the science behind this is quite positive. And what you're finding, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that kids are engaged, they're able to produce more even in their writing, even though it's hard, and in other kinds of things. But they're also really the kids love nonfiction. They just always have, right? And you know, whether or not it's a unit on snakes or reptiles or it's a dinosaur or whatever, it sounds like kids are really highly engaged. It sounds like the staff are enjoying it too, even though you're working really hard.
And the kids are learning a lot. They're learning so much. They're becoming, we in my room, we're zoologists and they're animal experts. And the things they can rattle off, it's amazing. The vocabulary, they're using rich vocabulary. And it actually allows for differentiation kind of naturally, because the kids that are super interested in this dig deeper.
Yep.
And so they're gaining even more knowledge. And the kids that need extra support, they love animals. So they're still learning, and they're able to keep up with the rest of the group. It's really good.
Well, I'm excited to see how this year progresses, and I greatly appreciate everyone's work that is working on the early adoption of Amplify CKLA. And I'm hopeful that it's going to be reflected as at the end of the year, as we continue to progress monitor our kids using FastBridge, but also on MCAs. But even if it doesn't, I mean, normally in the first year or two of the implementation of a new curriculum, you do see a little bit of a dip as teachers are learning about how to implement that. So, but something tells me we're not going to see that dip. I don't know, you know, and but we'll look forward to that. So for those of you who are out there are listening, and if you're a parent of a child who's in a CKLA classroom, ask them about what they're learning and ask them about, you know, are you a zoologist if you're in third grade? Ask them, tell me about the animals that you're using. And fourth grade, what are we learning right now?
Middle ages.
I am a
parent of a CKLA student.
Are you
also,
really?
I am. I have a kindergartner.
Yeah.
And it is amazing what she comes home and she tells me.
Wow.
Yeah. That's, we were walking in from the garage and it was really a sunny day.
Yep.
And we're walking in from the garage into our dark house and she stopped me and she said, "Look at my eyes." And I was like, okay. and she's like, "Look, didn't you see them get smaller in the dark?" Because they were working on the five senses. And typically we would just say, okay, we can see things with our eyes. These kids are getting so many details and they're so excited to share them.
That's so fun. So fun. Well, if you're a parent with your child in a CKLA, ask them those questions about what they're learning. And if you're a parent now listening to this going, "I wish my kid was in it." Well, guess what? It's coming to a classroom near you beginning next year because everyone will be implementing it. So so we're excited about this. We're very hopeful that this is going to change the trajectory of some of our students. And if nothing else, it certainly increases their knowledge base, which is always a good thing. So I want to thank you both. Nikki and Shannon, right, for being here today. And thank you all for tuning in to this version of Saber Speaks. Yeah. Everyone, have a great day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.